The failures in the child and adolescent mental health services have once again been highlighted this week, with one of the persistent problems being waiting lists. There are almost 4,000 children currently waiting for an assessment with CAMHS. Our reporter Karen Creed has been finding out what it's like for parents of teenage children in this situation and the many difficulties they face navigating the process.
I think parents sort of approach their GP and approach professionals as a kind of a last straw. Everybody wants to think that their child is going through a situational problem, that we'll push through this and we'll come out the other end and it's going to be okay. So to know the difference between one and the other is difficult as a parent.
A mother in Dublin, Carol Ann Copland, describing the challenge of distinguishing normal adolescent behaviour from a mental health illness.
Is this going to be something that's going to, you know, chase them their whole life? Or is this something just for now, just because of school, just because of peers?
She has spent 15 years navigating the process of seeking professional help for her two daughters who suffer with mental health issues.
We would have found it quite daunting. And I think the second time round, we thought, we have this sussed, and we know what we're doing here. And I think both myself and my husband were quite shocked. I don't know, maybe there is a triage in place, but there doesn't feel, when you're trying to access help, there doesn't feel like there's a triage in place.
Carol Ann's experience is similar to many other parents interviewed for a study on supporting their teenage children who are struggling with their mental health. Dr. Doronia Murphy led the study at UCD's School of Psychology.
For the parent, it's very difficult because it's the realisation that they can't help their adolescent themselves and they need to seek external help. Emotions like worry, concern, and then also a little bit of guilt too, because guilt that their adolescent is feeling this way, and also guilt that, you know, they didn't really realize sooner that their adolescent was in distress. One parent described to me that they felt that they were thrown in the deep. They didn't know what to do. And I suppose there's no real central hub that parents can go to where they can get accurate, reliable and trustworthy information. So sometimes they're Googling information, they're finding things that might not be as relevant to their situation.
While most said their GP was their first port of call, the process from there was often not straightforward, whether the option was to go private, choose charity-led support, or await an appointment with the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services, known as CAMHS.
When they get to services, they face a number of obstacles. So one of the first things is wait lists. For example, I spoke to one mother whose son was self-harming and suicidal ideation, and when she got to CAMHS, she was told she'd have to wait 3 months, and you know, she was there with her son not knowing what to do, not knowing how to support him. And another mother described it to me as like she was literally just keeping her daughter alive during that period of waiting.
She also outlines how negative coverage around CAMHS impacted some parents' views.
Some of the parents had heard the negativity around CAMHS, and they had this perception going into CAMHS that it wasn't going to work, that it, you know, they kind of, some of those parents knew they were going to have to wait. So I think overall, maybe it might have clouded their view about how they thought, you know, services were going to be for their child.
This study also raises the issue of stigma, with many choosing to keep quiet about their child's illness, particularly fathers.
A lot of mothers and fathers, it was the first time they'd ever actually opened up to anyone about what they'd been through. Many parents didn't speak to their wider extended family or friends for fear of they themselves being judged as a parent, or also protect their child. They didn't want their child to be viewed differently. They were concerned about what people would think if they told parents. And then often some parents spoke about when they did tell other people, maybe there was a little bit of a lack of understanding.
Carol Ann says this is one of the main reasons she has chosen to speak publicly about her situation.
I don't think people talk to each other. And when my younger daughter was in fifth year, she went into St. Pat's Children's Hospital for about 3 months. And I found out sort of much later that so many people I knew were in a similar position that year. They're not talking enough to each other. So because it's all such a taboo subject, and it really is a taboo subject.
While it has taken a toll on her family, she said openness around mental health has helped her and her daughters.
But we have always, from a very early age, pushed this idea that please do not hide it under the carpet. And that because of that, I think their resilience is bigger and better. And so they have got there. But it wasn't without its problems and its
heartbreak. And you were listening there to Carol Ann Copland, ending that report from Karen Creed.